wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Repent or perish. Who said so? Our subject is a Bible truth of the greatest importance to each one of us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, with the deepest earnestness, declared, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This he repeated, so that like thunder it rang in their ears. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But had some folks of our day been in the crowd of his listeners, they would have scorned. Who is that talking so big? Who? He is the eternal living God, the one who is over all, God blessed forever. And he is the judge of all men. He is the one who declares unto us the only way we can escape the certain judgment of God. Neighbor, don't scoff. Let these words sink into your ears and make your conscience tremble with concern. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Nay, what is he so strongly denouncing? People had come to him telling of the wicked Galileans whom Pilate had executed, while they thought themselves just like folks do today, so much better. The Lord Jesus showed them that they were sinners too. And if they did not repent, they would go to the same eternity of judgment. Then the Lord Jesus reminded them of 18 men on whom a tower fell. This was not a government executing men, but this was an act of God that killed them. Our Lord declared that they were sinners. That was true. But the rest of the people in Jerusalem were just as bad sinners. And unless they repented, they would likewise perish in their sins. How do you feel before this sermon of Jesus Christ? Does your pride so bewitch you that you reason thus? Surely he's not talking about me. I'm a good man. I'm a religious person. Here is a rule with no exception. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It is repent or perish for you and me, neighbor. The Jews, because of their Talmud teaching, thought that they were exempt from judgment, and they did not need to repent. But John the Baptist denounced their arrogant pride and cried in fearless tones, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Today the Gentiles are saying, Those Jews crucified Christ. Repentance is for them and not for us Gentiles. Listen to the Bible, God's word, testifying to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And again we read, And now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is for every age, now. Repentance is for every place, everywhere. Repentance is for every person, all men. Repentance then is for you right now, whoever you are and wherever you live. Neighbor, you can't slip out of this. Now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There are no exceptions. Repentance is the key to divine mercy. Therefore, it is the constant call of a holy, sin-hating God to men. Let me summarize the Bible and show you how God is always calling men to repent. In all ages, the cry is the same, repent or perish. As soon as sin entered the race of man in Eden's garden, the Lord God appeared to waken Adam to his sin and to lead him to repentance. In Moses' day, the law was given. It exposed sin and pronounced God's judgment and called upon men, all men, to acknowledge their guilt before God. Hearken. For what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world might become guilty before God. This was the message and the purpose of the law of Moses. Then there came the prophets, and they denounced man's wickedness and called upon them to repent. As we turn from the Old Testament to the New, some try to think that repentance will end and it will only be a matter of believing in Christ, but it is not so. John the Baptist emerges from the wilderness. People leave the towns and crowd to hear him preach as he cries, Repent ye. Then our Lord Jesus Christ starts his public ministry, and his first word is repent, as he commands, repent ye and believe the gospel. The 12 apostles start out to preach, and they preach that men should repent. As the new dispensation begins with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter stands up to preach. The aroused multitude cry, what shall we do? Peter answers, repent. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles and the minister of the church, preaches thus, now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And finally, the tribulation of wrath will break on this old world, and men on earth shall receive heaven's vengeance. Why? Hearken, because they would not repent. See then, from the Garden of Eden, where sin entered, to the millennium, where sin shall be put down, the message is repent. It is for all ages, for all nations, for all people. It is for you. You must repent. Why? Because of your own sins. You may not have broken into a bank or gotten drunk, but you have sinned times beyond your numbering. While some of your sins have been against your neighbor, yet all of your sins have been against God. Your sin is just like a slap in the face of God. God told you what to do, and you said, indeed, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to. What defiance! What an insult to God your maker! Neighbor, behold your foolishness, consider your wickedness. If God did not hold back the angels of heaven, they would have smitten you dead long ago. The Bible says, one sinner that repenteth. You have sinned, and you must repent. No one can repent for you. You know you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know you ought to get down on your knees and confess to God your sin and shame, and in real repentance seek his mercy, and yet you won't do it. God commands you to repent, but you won't obey his command. So God warns you, except ye repent, ye shall all perish, but you will not be moved by fear. So God pleads with you, saying, I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Men, women, youths, I plead with you, repent. God has commanded you to, he has warned you, and he has pled with you. What more can he do? Make your decision right now. Oh God, I will repent. Repentance is the first move of the soul toward God. If you haven't made that move, you haven't taken the first step toward God. When you take that step, then things move swiftly toward your salvation. God delegates his angels to surround you. He tells Satan to stand back. His spirit takes over. The darkness passes. The rebellion is subdued. The scales fall from your eyes, and you see the real meaning of Calvary's cross, where Christ died for our sins. You see him as your substitute Savior and as your Lord. A divine miracle takes place. You are a new person, a child of God, saved and rejoicing in it. Thousands of souls are deadlocked and getting nowhere, just like a lot of logs jammed at the bend of the river. May the blast of repent ye, like the dynamite blast that breaks up the deadlock and sends the logs on their way in the stream, so set everything to moving so that you will be reconciled to God, yea, become his very child. When repentance is not preached, the people profess religion and continue in their sins. Where there is no repentance, there is no breaking with sin. Neighbor, are you a real Christian or just one of those religious hypocrites? Have you repented of your sins? The measure of your repentance will be the measure of your pride. See that proud religious Saul of Tarsus as the Lord of glory puts his proud head in the dust of that Damascus road and charges him with his sin, so that he trembles in fear and in repentance and cried, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See that Job who out-talked his friends in the ash heap as he maintained what a good man he had been and boasted, my righteousness I hold fast. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. But after a long struggle, he so sees himself in the Lord's presence that he cried, behold, I am vile. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Could anyone's repentance be deeper than Job's? See that proud Isaiah as he condemned everybody but himself. as he is suddenly exposed in the Lord's presence and wails, "Woe is me, for I am unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips." And if you could have seen me the night I repented, yes, that proud youth was brought into the dust of repentance by the Holy Spirit after a day of torturous conviction. Truly, the measure of your repentance will be the measure of your pride. And in this also remember that some of the most wicked people are also the proudest. But some may say, "I thought you got saved by just taking a gift and saying yes to the preacher. If it takes all, you say, I'm not interested." Neighbor, hold it. Consider thy ways. What will it mean to you if you do not repent? You cannot throw off this matter so easily, for except ye repent, ye shall all perish, cries the Son of God. You will spend eternity, the great forever, in hellfire, weeping, wailing, and gnashing your teeth in those awful torments. Why? Because you repented not. Like Capernaum, of whom our Lord said, "Ye shall be brought down to hell," because they repented not. The rich man in hell knew why he was there. He had not repented. And so he prayed that someone would preach to his five brothers so they would repent and not come into that place of torment. Neighbor, it is repent or perish for everyone, for you. Consider this weighty truth. God has never shown mercy to an unrepentant man, and he never will. I repeat it. God has never shown mercy to an unrepentant man, and he never will. Face it, neighbor, and let nothing keep you from right now repenting of your sins. Let this be your decision, that you will never meet God for him to charge you with your sins, and then that you did not repent of them. You cannot undo your past life of sin, but you can right now repent of them before God, and I hope you will add, "I will." May God grant it. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.